Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for recovering here, Larry. It's interesting this happened because I have this beautiful icon of the Holy Trinity is on my top shelf, and Tuesday night it came crashing to the ground. So I don't know, these interesting coincidences or providences, I don't know. But today, as we hear our gospel lesson, Jesus is watching. I know when my wife Joan was a little healthier and would go to the Ross Park Mall or Northway Mall, I didn't like going, but I went with her and she went shopping. I'd sit and watch and observe people. You know, young people, old people, how they were dressed, different shapes and shapes. People are fascinating just to observe. You know, not to judge, just to say, wow, that's interesting. But what I've noticed recently is more people are like this. You know, they're not talking, looking around. It's a different world. But Jesus was watching. Jesus is watching. And he's like called his disciples, said, come here, come here, come here. Look at this. This widow, look at her. She look how she's giving. I mean, Jesus looked with observation and discernment. He didn't just see what happened. He looked at the heart, the motivation, what's happening. Just like his Father in heaven, he knew all hearts are open, all desires known, before whom no secrets are hid. Jesus is watching. And he's watching each of us with the same double discernment. What we're doing, what's our motivation, what we give, how we give. He looks at our hearts. And what's truly awesome is to think about that. He's always watching us. No matter what we're doing, he's always watching us. And there's no part of us, our economic, our civil, our political, our religious, our family part of us, he doesn't observe. And there's nothing we can hide from him. I remember reading about when the missionaries went into Germany and they'd baptize the people, and the warriors would go, and they'd baptize them similar to them, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The warriors would hold their right arm up and, you know, it wouldn't get wet. They found out that this is the arm they used to hold their weapons. And they wanted to use that for their own. They didn't want God to interfere with that part of them. But Jesus was watching. He was watching. And he saw some people give a lot. And he saw that, you know, that's good. But they probably wouldn't miss it too much. They look pretty wealthy. They gave some of them probably what they had left over. So they took care of stuff, and then they gave what was left over. And so what they gave really didn't pinch. It didn't cost too much. Now remember, Jesus was not judging. He was like me at the mall, just watching, observing what was going on. And he called his disciples and he said, look, she gave all. She trusted totally. She had nothing left, but she trusted somehow it would be okay. To Jesus, the amount of the gift is not as important as the spirit in giving, the motivation in giving, why you're giving, and what it cost the person. You know, there's one wonderful book, one of my favorite spiritual books by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, The Cost of Following Jesus Christ. What does it cost? Jesus is talking about the risks in giving and living, because, you see, our Christian life, our faith life, is an adventure. It's a lively life. It's a life that's lived in faith and trust and risk. And when you risk, sometimes things happen you don't expect. But taking that risk, you enter into a wonderful adventure of life and love. You know, I remember when I was a student pastor, called a vicar, and I was in, I served up around Brookville, Pennsylvania, and Reynoldsville, Pennsylvania, and Hormtown and that area, in this little church in Green Valley, like I said, little tiny church. Beautiful, beautiful people there, and a lovely little cemetery around it. I remember this one tombstone about this lady, and it says, "In faith, she hath done what she couldn't. In faith, she has done what she could." You know what they're trying to say? Our faith in Jesus Christ gives us a strength and a power, a supernatural energy from on high that we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't do. I mean, I couldn't be a pastor. I'd be wiped away. It wasn't for Jesus Christ. It gives me the strength that you too, as you count on Jesus, you get the strength to do what you couldn't do just as you. But the more than gives you more than power to do what Jesus wants you to do. It's this kind of spirit of adventure and living and giving that launches the dream and the vision of the church in the future. What's God's vision that he's given to you for St. Paul's right now? I mean, that's one of the things we're looking at. What ministries? Where's God leading us? What's God's vision for us? Because we're the body of Christ. And I think what happened on Tuesday, the church is more important now than ever. To show love and kindness and justice, compassion, gentleness, the gift of respecting others in their otherness, because God made us all different. What's your vision? Let Doreen know. Let me know. Let council members, hold up your hands. Let these guys know. What's God put on your heart? But like Abraham Lincoln said, it's not so important that God's on our side. Are we on God's side? So where do you think God's leading us? Wonderful poet Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "Some people see things as they are and ask, why? I dream of things as they can be and ask, why not?" Where's your dreams of how things can be? What is your vision of God's kingdom? The beautiful kingdom where the lion lays down with the lamb and all is at peace and there's love and there's a blessed and a beloved community of all people, black, white, yellow, Muslim, Christian, all people are welcome. Dawn played that song, that hymn, when my son got married, remember? All are welcome in this place. And my daughter-in-law's mother came in with her. She's Chinese with purple hair. And one of the bridesmaids was a guy. It was very. I'm learning the difference because God's doing a new thing, a new world. Some people are afraid of that world. They want to go back to Ozzy and Harriet and Father Knows Best. That's not the way it is, folks. God's doing a new thing. We can either love God and try to minister in this new milieu, or we can fight it. And there's a very important thing about giving, and St. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. He said, when the church in Jerusalem, they were starving, and he was asking for help for them, giving for them, help, giving them food so they could survive. And he held up the church in Macedonia as an example, and he said, they were very generous, but first they gave themselves to the Lord, all of themselves. Body, mind, soul, spirit, all of themselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Easy said, hard to do. You see, Jesus is not after our money alone. No, he wants all of us. He doesn't want us to hold up our hand as we're getting baptized. He wants all of us. Body, soul, toenails. He wants our toenails too. Yeah, he wants all of us. All of us, until there is no vestige of the old Adam left, until we're purified by the purifying power of the Spirit, and we die and rise with Christ every day and pray to be more godlike and more loving and more Christ-like. So when people see us, they'll glorify our Father in heaven by seeing you and by your actions. We need prayer, but we need the vertical, and we need the love, the horizontal, both. Meditation, action. You just have meditation, you're floating around. Just have action, you become a do-gooder. But you have, in Christ, you hold these two together to go and serve in his name. In a quiet moment. And if you read the earlier part of the chapter in Mark's gospel, Jesus is being attacked by the Pharisees and the scribes, but a quiet moment at the temple, just sitting around observing, Jesus points out, there, look. Everybody would overlook this poor little, well, these big shots come with their big robes, and they're, all right, I'm giving this big bag of money, look at me, I'm a real believer in God, pay attention, I don't have to repent, I don't have to, I have no sins, I'm just a good guy, I fast twice on Sunday. No, this... Oh, you couldn't even notice her. Little old lady. Give everything she has. Jeez, look. Look at those two small coins that dropped in the treasury. Those are the sounds of love and total trust. Total leap of faith. There. Those sounds of sounds of life. She committed 100%. She held nothing back. She left everything on the field. She knew that she was blessed to be a blessing. She was not possessed by her possessions. Today's gospel reading is a story to make us think. It is a story of our Lord calling us for our lives, for other people's lives, to follow him. And Jesus invites us today to enter into this whole new world, this whole new adventure of faith and love, an extravagant, crazy, risky adventure of God's love, in God's plan of salvation for the whole world. After all, in the end, it all belongs to God. In the end, you can't take it with you. And everything, folks, is spiritual. How I'm going to watch the Steeler game today, how we treat one another, how we vote, how we use our money. You know, pay, do a spiritual intake on yourself. Just look at your money for the month. Where's your money go? It's all spiritual. It all belongs to God. And God says, I love you. I made you. At this time and place in the world, not by mistake, but for a purpose. Your life has meaning. Your little coin can change the world. Now the question becomes, beloved, what are we going to do about it? And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.